Well, it's been a long time coming, but we've made it to the end of my 12-sermon series, which I didn't know was going to be possible, but it came. God made it, helped me get it done, and it's done. But as you'll see in your bulletins, it says Scripture from Jude. On Wednesday, that's where I thought it was coming from. But last night and this morning, it came from somewhere else. So God directed me somewhere else. So we're going to actually go to Numbers. And Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. Now, as you turn there, we're talking about connecting to God through quiet listening, or connecting to God, period. And this message is supposed to be titled, "The Peace and Quiet You Will Hear." Now, this portion of Numbers is the benediction that you've heard plenty of times, I'm sure. It's a benediction that was given to Moses by the Lord to pass on to Aaron to be spoken to the Israelites at the end of the temple services. And it was a way of the Lord, a way that the Lord would encourage the people that He would always be with them, whether or not He was speaking to them directly in that day, or whether or not they sensed Him right there, or whether or not they felt He was miles away from them. It was a way of them being encouraged that He would be right there with them at all times, during the quiet times as well as during the times where He was speaking volumes. It was a way that He was encouraging them, that He was stamping His name on them, period. That they were His, and He was theirs. God's presence in itself is a blessing. And for us to see the peace and quiet when we pray that people would have that peace that passes all understanding, that is God's presence being with them in that time of uncertainty. It's not God's absence and then them having a sense of peace. It's God just coming to be with them and them not realizing what necessarily is going on, but them sensing a peace falling over them. And all of a sudden, they have this peace that falls over them and everything is all right. No matter what may be going on all around them, no matter what kind of turmoil may be going on in their life, for that moment, for that time, there is peace. There is shalom in their life. Because God's presence is a blessing. It brings peace. Now, to get that closeness, of course, we need to live close to God, and we must be pure or righteous, or not necessarily perfect, but we need to have that motivation, that desire to be close to Him too, to have it more often than not, to have that presence with us. We need to seek it out. To have it more often than not, we need to seek it out ourselves. It's a blessing that's rooted in personal commitment. Not only personal commitment on our part, but personal commitment on God's part to His people. And that's what He's saying here in this verse. He's saying, I am committed to you. And I pray you are committed to me. Through my commitment to you, I pray and I trust you are committed to me too. Let me read it to you. If you haven't got it in front of you, I want to read it to you. This is out of the New King James Version. This is verse 22. It begins, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put My name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." The Lord bless you. You know, this is the oldest recovered verse of the Old Testament. It was found engraved on a thin metal piece of foil. This is the oldest recovered piece of the Old Testament ever found. The Lord bless you. Now that's significant. Because the Lord was always seeking to bless people, not condemn them. He was always seeking to bring them out of their sin, not afflict them with punishment. And I find that interesting that that's the oldest piece of scripture that has survived, that this little piece was the oldest recovered verse of the Old Testament was ever found. Now, verses 22 through 27 also communicates a desire of the Lord to invest in His people with His name. He's not just willy-nilly with those who He wants to stamp His name on. He's not just going to choose anybody out of anywhere and say, I'm willing to just give you my name. He had a special plan for the Israelites, and He had a special plan for them, and He was willing to say, hey, I'm going to stamp my name on you, basically. And that means that by me, you will be known. And by you, also, I will be known. That has a correlation today to Christians. By us, Christ is known. But also, by Him, we are known. We're supposed to reflect Christ. And also, Christ is also supposed to be reflected in us. Right? This blessing becomes a petition that God might live among His people and meet all their needs. It's right there. Be gracious to you. His face shine upon you. Bless you and keep you. Be gracious to you. Bless you and keep you. And within that keep you is to basically make sure that everything's taken care of for you. Make sure that all your needs are supplied. Not all your wants are supplied, but all your needs are supplied. That I will be your God and you will be my people concept is also followed up by I will be your all in all. I will be everything that you need, and you will not look anywhere else for your needs. And in that gives us a peace. Gives us a peace and quiet. We have the ability to rest in that because we don't have to run out and search all over for the things we need. We can look in the cupboard and say, like the widow, there's only a little bit of oil, enough to make one loaf for me and my son to die and have a last feast, and open it up again, there's still more. There's still more. There's still more. There's still more. Why? Because He wants to be the one that supplies all our needs. There's a peace in that. Because if we place all of our trust and our faith in Him, He will supply our needs. It may not be all of our wants supplied, but it will be all our needs supplied. Moving on. He alone can bless His people and keep them and look on them with favor. He alone can be gracious to them and give them peace. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else can promise them that. All throughout the Old Testament, they went looking for it elsewhere, but they never found it. They went searching for it in the idols of their neighbors, in the idols of their captors, but they never found it. They always came back, sometimes crying, sometimes crawling. But God said, get up, you don't have to do that. You're still my people. I told you that I would still bring you back. I promised you when the prophets spoke to you that you would be exiled. I told you that you would come back one day and I would bring you back. Not that you would be brought back by anybody else, but I would bring you back. Because I'm the supplier of all your needs. I am the one that cares for you. I am the one who loves you. And that should have gave them a peace even in the midst of their captivity. Now I want to point out something else. The repetition of the name Lord or Jehovah in this. It's repeated three times. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. It expresses the great mystery of the Godhead. Three persons and yet one God. The expressions in the separate clauses correspond to respective offices. The offices of the Father, to bless and keep us. Of the Son, to be gracious to us. Of the Holy Ghost, to give us peace. And because of the benediction, though pronounced by the lips of a fellow man, and derived its virtue not from the priest, but from God, the encouraging assurance was added, I, the Lord, will bless them. Not until I read this over and I read it over again and again and I looked at it through the eyes of this commentator did I see that. The possibility of this being expressed as a Trinitarian Godhead blessing. God the Father saying, the Lord bless you and keep you. God the Son saying, the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. God the Holy Spirit saying, the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. because it expresses three separate blessings and yet still the same God. Now, it's just an opinion. But it's pretty unique, and it's pretty neat to see it, that it could be a Trinitarian blessing. Moving on. Now this next part is something we don't like to think about, but sometimes we miss out on peace because of the fact that we don't listen, and we need to be disciplined, and we miss out on it because we don't allow ourselves to be pronounced His children. Or we are His children, and because we are His children and we don't listen, we need to go through the exiles. We need to go through a little bit of chastisement. And these are used for us to be able to grow, to experience blessing, to be able to look up to Him and see Him as the loving Father, and to say, I understand why you did that. It was for my own good. Several times in Proverbs, the benefits of discipline are listed, or however you want to put it, the negative, the lacking of discipline, or the negative benefits of lacking discipline are listed, however you want to put it. Proverbs 13:24 says this, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Proverbs 19:18 says this, "Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction." Proverbs 22:15 says this, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." Proverbs 23:13-14 says this, "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." Proverbs 29:15-17 says this. Now I'm not advocating child abuse here. I'm just trying to speak on the benefits of correct discipline and how God disciplines His own children. And God not being a father who lacks discipline, but God being one who also does not neglect His children. Proverbs 29:15-17 says this, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." And 17, "Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul." Now, God says all this in this priestly blessing, "Bless The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. He wants all that to happen. He wants that to be pronounced upon you. He wants you to listen to him too. He wants me to listen to him too. And sometimes he needs to correct us. He needs to divert our path. And that comes in many forms. And he will not lack in correction. He will not lack in discipline. And sometimes discipline hurts. In many ways. Finally, on one hand, God provides all good things for his children, and on the other hand, he keeps guards and protects them from the enemy who would deprive them of the good. In verse 24, he says, bless you and keep you. So that's on one hand. He provides all the good things, and then he keeps them. He guards them from the enemy who would deprive them. Make his face to shine upon you. This is a typical Hebrew expression that when a man's face would shine, in Proverbs 16:15, it says something about this, he is filled with happiness. But when his face gathers blackness, it is evident that evil and despair have gripped his soul. So God wants our face to shine. He always wants our face to shine. He doesn't want it ever to be blackened. And give thee peace, shalom. Shalom, peace. It's a comprehensive word, including concepts of completeness, security, health, tranquility, contentment, friendship, and peace with not only God, but man. It's an all-inclusive peace. So, in sharing this benediction with you, which a lot of times you go into a church and they have written down at the bottom of their service, order of service, they have closing prayer or closing benediction and prayer. A benediction is not a prayer. It's a spoken blessing. It's a spoken blessing. A benediction is a spoken blessing. A prayer is a closing prayer. It's a time of closing and in prayer time. A benediction is actually a spoken blessing out loud, pronounced over the people. So there is a difference. And at times you've seen me probably lift my hand up as I've spoken a benediction and say those words, whatever it was as a benediction, and at times you've seen me close in prayer. There is a difference. Can God bless through a prayer? Yes. Can God bless through a benediction? Yes. Does it make too much of a difference? I don't know. So, the main point today is the peace that comes by knowing that you are God's children and the fact that God's face shining upon you, God's blessing being upon you, is something that he wants more than anything for you as his children. He wants to be able to stamp his name on you. And give you that peace that passes all understanding, not just in moments, but in every day of your life. So, let's close with a benediction and then a prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now let's pray. And before any music, I have something to share after prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us and your desire to give us peace, that peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, help us to trust you and have faith in you in all aspects of our life, no matter what may come our way. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.